Should we ask the Lord's help as we look at that passage this morning? Let's pray. Lord, we just need your help now. Would you come by your Spirit and help me to preach your word faithfully? Would you give us hearts that understand and hear? Would you speak the challenge you want us to hear today, whatever we are facing? Lord, you know us, and we want to meet with you now. So be at work, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, last time we were together in Genesis, we saw Abraham and Sarah meeting these angels, these messengers from God, and they bring great news. It's just a year to go till the baby arrives. One more year and God would keep his promise. And as Abraham, smiling away, escorts these angels, these messengers, away from his home, he was about to have a shocking disclosure from the Lord. This section begins with Abraham looking down with the messengers towards the city of Sodom. And it was all intact. Chapter 18, verse 16, when the men got up to leave, they looked down towards Sodom. It was all fine. We get to chapter 19, verse 28, and as Abraham looks down on Sodom again, everything has changed. He looked down towards Sodom and Gomorrah, towards all the land of the plain, and he saw dense smoke rising from the land, like smoke from a furnace. It's quite a shocking before and after story, isn't it? Quite a huge change. As Abraham looked down one day, and then a few days later, he looked down again, and Sodom had gone. Now, if you were alive in 2001, I guess most of us were. We'll have seared into our minds the shocking before and after stories of the Twin Towers in New York. Before the terrorist attack, those Twin Towers stood strong and secure. But after the attack, they were decimated and destroyed. Those images, that moment in history, the horror of the before and after story has stuck in our minds, hasn't it? If you lived through that time of TV coverage, there are images that will never leave us. People running and fleeing. People jumping out of the windows. Planes crashing in. It was devastating coverage. Those images have never left us if we watched them. That was a terrible day. A terrible, terrible day. And we saw just the horror of terrorism and the cruelty and sin of man. A terrible, evil day. Well, in our passage this morning, the before and after images of Sodom are not about the terror of terrorism, but about the sinfulness of man and God's just judgment falling upon Sodom. It fell and it came. Can you imagine how it must have felt for Abraham? One day Sodom was there, but then it had been destroyed. The view had changed. God had acted in judgment that would never leave his mind. And this act of God's just judgment is referred to many times in the Bible. And it's a picture that we're given to remind us of a really important truth, that judgment is coming. Jesus himself refers to Sodom to warn and to teach us. What does this passage teach us? Three things this morning. The first is this: God will judge the wicked. You can't get away from that. You can't sugarcoat it. Judgment came on Sodom, and that reminds us that a day of judgment is coming one day on this world. When Jesus preaches about his return, the return of the Lord in Luke 17, he uses the example of Sodom. He describes the people of Sodom just carrying on with normal everyday life. People were eating and drinking and carrying on with life in the city. But the day that Lot left Sodom, judgment fell. And when Jesus returns, when the day of the Lord comes, Jesus the judge will return. And it will just be an ordinary day like no other. And it'll take us by surprise. We say, don't we? Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Yes, he will come again to save. But he will come again to judge this sinful, rebellious, wicked world. The world that he made. The world that he loves. The world that has rejected him. Sodom in the Bible is a picture of judgment that fell and the judgment to come. And God reveals to Abraham the fate that is about to fall on Sodom. Chapter 18, verse 20, because the outcry against Sodom is so great and their sin is so grievous. And so he sends his messengers to the city on a reconnaissance mission to see how bad it is. Chapter 19. Of course, the Lord knows how bad it is. He knows all things, but he condescends through these angelic messengers to visit Lot and the city of Sodom. From our reading, we heard what happened. We just see how dark that place is. The messengers are going to sit in the square. But actually, it's not safe to go to the square. You've got to get into Lot's house. This is a bad place. Bad things happen in Sodom. Don't sleep there. Come into my home, Lot says. And then the men of the town, they hear of the arrival of these messengers, and their sinful appetites are aroused. They demand to have them. Chapter 19, verse 5 is very blunt and honest. They call to Lot. What do the men of the city say? Where are the men who came to you tonight? Bring them out so that we can have sex with them. It is shocking, isn't it? The wicked men of Sodom are planning a gang rape of these other men, these messengers from the Lord. And Lot's reaction isn't much better. He said, well, have my daughters. What a terrible thing to do. He's not looking after his own kids. Friends, this is a detestable desire and plan of the men of Sodom. It's just one example of the wickedness of Sodom. The prophet Ezekiel, he tells us more. Listen to how he describes Sodom in Ezekiel 16:49. He says this, now this was the sin of your sister Sodom. She and her daughters were arrogant, overfed, and unconcerned. They did not help the poor and needy. They were haughty and did detestable things before me. Therefore I did away with them, as you have seen. Arrogance. A lack of compassion and care for the needy. Haughty attitudes, doing detestable, immoral things, as we've seen from our reading. This was the sin of Sodom, symptoms of rejecting God's ways. God's judgment of the wickedness of Sodom is an event that points us to the judgment that is coming that we should fear. And it's coming to a world that rejects the Lord and his ways. And holy justice will be done. Hey, we get so used, don't we, to living in this world. We don't bat an eyelid at its rebellion, immorality, and sinful rejection of the Lord God. Just think of the unfolding of the Matt Hancock story this weekend. Evan saying how double standard he is. He's broken his own restrictions. But who's saying, what about his wife or his kids? What about them? Who cares about them? Is that okay? God will judge the wicked. We forget it. We get so used to sin. And when we think of the wicked, we're thinking of someone else, aren't we? But actually, let's change that word wicked for sinners. That's everyone, isn't it? We too know that we are all sick with sin and wickedness. As Christians, we confess it every week. We feel a conviction of the Holy Spirit in our hearts, and we see how much we deserve the wrath of God against sin. And we've been wonderfully led to the Savior Jesus. For those of us who found salvation in him, what are we to do with the thought of those we love and know and live amongst who will one day face the judgment of God? Well, what does the man of faith do? Well, at the end of chapter 18, he intercedes on their behalf. He intercedes for them. He prays for the city of Sodom. You see, he's got family there that he loves and cares for. He wants them to be saved, to be shown mercy, to be delivered from the judgment that is coming. My friends, are we interceding? Are we praying for our lost family and friends and colleagues, for the lost people of our town and country and county? That's what Abraham does in great honesty and openness before the Lord. What else can you do but cry out to him? Listen to how he starts in chapter 18, verse 23. Then Abraham approached him, that's the Lord, and said, will you sweep away the righteous with the wicked? What if there are 50 righteous people in the city? Will you really sweep it away and not spare the place for the sake of the 50 righteous people in it? And his numbers drop through his prayers. And he says of the Lord God, verse 25, will not the judge of the earth do right? And he intercedes with understanding. The understanding that God is a God who can save the wicked through the righteousness of others. Of course, we see that in Jesus, don't we? Christ died for sins, the one, the righteous for the unrighteous, the many, to bring us to God. The Bible makes it clear that Jesus is coming. Because God will judge the wicked. Wicked is anyone who's rejected Jesus, which is what all believers were before God intervened into their hearts and saved us. There's no room for pride, is there? This should move us. It should trouble us. It should wake us up at night. It should get us on our knees. What to do? Well, pray. Intercede. Stand in the gap for people. Pray. Pray for them. God will judge the wicked. So intercede now. Secondly, we see the glorious truth, the good gospel news, that God is merciful to sinners. God is merciful to sinners. Can you see how the Lord does save? He saves Lot and his family. That's God's character. He does judge sin, but he loves to show mercy. He does deliver. He does rescue. He leads people to salvation. Look at verse 12. There's the two messengers of the Lord. They say to Lot, do you have anyone else here? That's chapter 19, verse 12. Sons-in-law, sons or daughters, or anyone else in the city who belongs to you? Get them out of here, because we're going to destroy this place. The messengers of God tell Lot to get his family out. So that's what Lot does. Verse 14, he tells his son-in-law, hurry out of this place, he says. But his sons-in-laws think he's a bit of a joker. He's having a laugh, isn't he? Don't take him seriously, Lot. I mean, he's lost the plot. Be polite to the father-in-law, but don't take him too seriously. Now, the angels, verse 15, they urge Lot to get out. Hurry, take your wife and your two daughters who are here, or you'll be swept away when the city is punished. Flee, run for your lives. In fact, verse 16, Lot hesitates, so the angels grab them by the hand and get them out. Why? Did they deserve God's deliverance? No. God was showing mercy, undeserved kindness. In mercy, the Lord urges and leads and rescues the family who, through the promise of Abraham, are part of God's people. But they're called not to look back. No, don't look back, or you'll be swept away. Have a look at verse 17. It's pretty urgent pleading. As soon as they had brought them out, one of them said, flee for your lives. Don't look back. And don't stop anywhere in the plain. Flee to the mountains or you will be swept away. This is an urgent, compassionate warning and urging. Run. Our God is a gracious and merciful God. What a relief. He loves to show compassion and mercy. What a relief. Lot and his wife and daughters had to be led away from Sodom by hand. The attraction was still so strong, but the Lord got them out and they were saved. It's like a fire rescue worker pulling people out of the fire or calling people to jump to safety. Get out. There is urgency. Friends, Jesus came to bring that rescue. In mercy and in love, he took the judgment that we deserve on the cross. And he says, whoever believes in me will not perish, but will have eternal life. Let's call people to run to Jesus for salvation. That's what we should do. God is merciful to sinners, so call people to run to him for salvation. That's what we're called to do. Run to Jesus. Come to Jesus. And church, Christians, get the urgency. Call others to me. Because God loves to save. He loves to show mercy to sinners. So call people to run to him, to repent and leave the wickedness of their ways behind and to walk towards the Lord in faith. Maybe this morning you're not yet a Christian. That is the invitation of Jesus. It's serious. He will judge the world, but he has made a way of salvation through his Son, Jesus Christ. Judgment is coming. Hell is a reality. But come to Jesus. And he takes your judgment for you on the cross. And he forgives your sins. And he loves to welcome people into his forever family. God loves to show mercy and grace to sinners. Will we come? Will we call others to run to the Saviour? But with that call comes a great warning for us this morning if we have turned to Jesus. And this is it. Don't turn away from his mercy. Friends, there were real consequences for Lot living in Sodom. Sodom got into his heart, into his wife's heart, into his daughter's hearts. You read on to the end of chapter 19, and his girls get their dad drunk, and he sleeps with them. It makes them pregnant. Detestable behavior. But before we even get to that, don't miss what happens to Lot's wife. Leaving Sodom is hard for her. She's clearly longing for the life of Sodom, and the pull is so great that tragically, it's going to pull her back from the Lord's salvation. The way of mercy and rescue is before her, and yet she turns her head because Sodom is more compelling to her than running the way of the Lord. Listen to chapter 19, 24 to 26. Then the Lord rained down burning sulfur on Sodom and Gomorrah from the Lord out of the heavens. Thus he overthrew those cities and the entire plain, destroying all those living in the cities and also the vegetation in the land. But Lot's wife looked back. And she became a pillar of salt. Now I imagine her turning back, that look must have reflected what was going on in her heart. As she turned back, she was kind of heading back towards Sodom. And as she did, she was destroyed by the sulfur and the ash and the fire that fell and stretched far on the plain. And she serves as a sober warning to us all. The world that rejects God and his ways is attractive. It has real power to get into our hearts and heads and shape us. Do not be tempted to turn away from the mercy of God and the salvation he offers and to turn back. Jesus uses her as an example to us in that same passage in Luke 17. When he's encouraging people to be ready for his return in judgment and to wholeheartedly follow him. He warns against the danger of a divided heart. He says, chapter 17, verse 32 of Luke, remember Lot's wife. And then Jesus says, whoever tries to keep their life like she did will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me will preserve it and persevere in it. She was running to safety, leaving behind the life she knew and loved. She just couldn't let it go. And she turned back. And Jesus said, don't be like her. As you wait for my return, don't turn away. Trust me. Follow me. Keep on running towards me. Don't turn back. Let's be honest. That's a daily challenge, isn't it, for us all? To follow Jesus. Maybe there are things that are pulling us right now, pulling us back. Relationships, wanting to fit in, wanting to be not different to everybody else, living for stuff and living for acceptance. Jesus says, remember Lot's wife. She ended up in this tragic after landscape of the judgment of God. A pillar of salt. When I was young, I feel very youthful, but actually when I was young, we used to sing a little chorus. It went like this. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. The cross before me, the world behind me. The cross before me, the world behind me. The cross before me, the world behind me. No turning back, no turning back. Friends, do not turn back from the mercy of God. Don't dream of a different life that would seem so much easier. Keep running to and trusting in and living for the glorious Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. Keep running to and living for the God of mercy and grace who saves from the final judgment to come. Keep trusting in and running to and living for the God who gave his Son to save you and is victorious. Maybe today the Lord is saying that you're drifting. And acknowledge it. And don't go the way of Lot's wife. Come back. Come back. Our sins are many, but his mercy is more. Well, hey, we have these two images, don't we, of Sodom, the before and the after. Let's not close our eyes to the picture of Sodom that it gives of where this world is heading. Let's intercede for the lost. Let's call them to run to Jesus for mercy. Let's keep on ourselves and encouraging each other until the Lord returns to follow Jesus. For the God who is just and holy is the righteous judge and he's the merciful Savior. Hallelujah for that. Let's pray. Lord, you know my heart and how I could just drift. But thank you that you keep me by your grace and by the reality of life as the Word of God explains it to us. We thank you that you're a merciful God. We deserve judgment. You've saved us, and we thank you. And we don't want to drift back. We want to keep running the way of faith and looking to the Lord Jesus. Help us. We are weak, but you are mighty. So keep us trusting in you. In Jesus.